In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Today it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. We're going to be looking at John 6, but before John 6, because the first words of John 6 are after these things. Now, what things? And I'm going to tell you. "For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote about me." This is Jesus talking to the Jewish people. If you really believed Moses, you would really believe me, because Moses wrote about me. "But if you believe not Moses' writings, how shall you believe in my words?" Very clear. Jesus says that these Jews proclaim that they believe Moses. But in all reality, they do not believe Moses, because Moses wrote of Jesus Christ as Messiah. And if they don't believe Moses, who wrote about Jesus, how will they believe the words of Jesus? Impossible. Impossible. There's got to be a connection between Moses and Jesus. And there is a connection. Moses wrote of Jesus. "One greater than I will be coming after me." Oh, yes. And the government will be on his shoulders, Isaiah says. We talk about Moses, but you cannot speak of Moses without speaking of Jesus. Because the whole Old Testament and the whole New Testament speaks of Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of the Father, the eternal Son of God. Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the whole Bible is the revelation of Jesus, the revelation of the Son of God, the revelation of the Lord who came from heaven, and he took the form of a human being. He was a human being, both God and man, and who died on a cross out of love for us. And as a result of dying on a cross, he was buried and rose on the third day. How can you believe me if you don't believe Moses? And Moses wrote about me. Chapter 6 of St. John. After these things about Moses, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is also called the Sea of Tiberias. As a matter of fact, this sea has three names: the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, and Gennesaret, which means it's a harp. The shape of the Sea of Galilee is a harp. And a great multitude followed Jesus. Of course, this is Dr. Jesus. This is the Lord. We have no antibiotics. We have no anything in these days. And the great multitude followed Jesus because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. They saw and they experienced the sick being healed in their sight. You know, I once prayed over so many people, and we never saw anything. Now when we pray over people, even on the radio, by the grace of the living God, we begin to see things. I was in St. Helens Church in Arizona, and we saw things. People were healed in our service. They walked in with a brace, and they walked out without a brace. Oh, yes. Then this lady was from the Middle East. And I said, "Do you make kibbe?" A kibbe is a Middle Eastern food. She says, "Yes, well, I'll bring it to you." I said, "Well, you know what, honey? We're going home soon, and you can't bring it to me this time. Maybe next time." You know, she was from Lebanon. She's Lebanese. And this whole experience of seeing things in the process of the healing service, not only, you know, people tell you afterwards, but people being healed in your midst. Why? There was a great multitude that followed Jesus because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. They saw people healed. And I know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know that on the cross, our Lord Jesus Christ took our sins and our sicknesses. By his stripes, we were healed. So the multitude is following Jesus. Why? They want to touch Dr. Jesus. They are in need of God's mercy. They are in need of a touch from God. They see that Jesus has this great connection with the Heavenly Father. Yes, they might not know everything about Jesus, but they see that he is the miracle worker. He is the great sign worker. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Looks like Moses. And at the Passover, the feast of the Jews, it was very near at hand. Passover, when we experience the children of Israel passing over the Red Sea and God providing manna in the desert for them. Oh, yes, the Passover. It's a great feast of the Jews. We have the same feast, the Passover of the Lord who died on the cross and who rose from the dead. When we celebrate the Passover of the Lord, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, he saw a great multitude, a great company coming unto him. And he said to Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Jesus sees all these people. And you know, you can hear the people's tummies squeaking. They're all hungry. They've been following Jesus. You know, they had nothing prepared. They just want a touch from Jesus. Now, how are we going to give them enough food to eat? Now, Jesus said this to Philip to prove him. For Jesus knew what he was about to do. It was no mystery to Jesus. He knew what he was about to do. So what does Philip do? Philip answered, "We have 200 penny worth of bread." That's $37 worth. "We have $37 worth of bread. It's not sufficient for all these people. And every one of them may take a little, and then there'll be none for the rest." One of his disciples, Andrew, I love Andrew. Oh, yes, Andrew. He is Simon Peter's brother. Andrew is sold out on Jesus. Whenever we see Andrew bringing people to Jesus. This is another sign that Andrew says, "There is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are that among so many?" Well, Andrew brings this little child to Jesus and brings this little child with the bread and the fish. Let me tell you this. Jesus Christ will accept the very little that you have if you offer it to him. It's very interesting. The widow's mite, she had very little, but she offered all to God. We need to offer all to God, even if it's a little. We need to offer all of our lives to God. We need to offer him our finances. We need to offer him our health, all to God. You know, it's so important that we give everything to God, our time, our talent, our treasure, that I don't belong to myself anymore. I belong to the one who died and rose. I am his and he is mine. And there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what is that among so many? And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now, there are plenty of women there, but only the men will be counted. This is how they did things. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. If there's 5,000 men, I'm going to tell you, there must be about 10,000 women and children, at least. At least. So we have at least 15,000 people sitting down, ready to eat. They're hungry. But what do we have? We have a couple of fish and a couple of loaves, barley loaves. That's all we have. Let me tell you, when we give the little that we have to Jesus, that will be multiplied. Those who sow little, reap little. Those who sow bountifully, reap bountifully. The little lad gave everything to Jesus. Jamie Stewart Wolfe, her ministry is called Loaves and Fishes. And she knows that when she gives the little she has to Jesus, he always multiplies it. Isn't that wonderful? He always multiplies it. And this little lad gave the barley loaves, which were five, and two small fishes to Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? What did you give to Jesus today? Did you give him your life? Did you ask for his grace? What did you give to Jesus today? Did you write a check? What did you do give to Jesus? The people at the abortion mill today stood outside the abortion mill while the rain was pouring on them. Oh, yes, not there to criticize those people that went in, but there to give them an option that there is another way for life. They gave their time, their talent to Jesus Christ today. And they were by that abortion mill, Planned Parenthood. Just maybe one woman, one man would change their mind. And I don't know if that happened, but I prayed this morning that this would happen, that God would use these faithful people. Who would want to be out in this cold rain? It's cold. Just going from the car into this house, it's so cold and the rain is so cold. Who would want to be in this cold weather with the rain falling down on you? Well, my friends at Planned Parenthood took their day today and they were there for people, maybe one young woman. Or one woman, even if she's married, would change their mind because they were there to say, we want to help you. And I'm going to tell you, they gave all to Jesus today. All to Jesus. It might not seem very much. It seems to me very, very, very much. It's harder for me to be out in Planned Parenthood than to write a $1,000 check. A $1,000 check to a ministry or to a priest that I know that's needy. It's much easier to write that check than it is to stand outside an abortion mill. Because at the abortion mill, you're rejected. At the abortion mill, it's cold. At the abortion mill, the rain will pelt down on you. At the abortion mill, there might not be any success that you see. But whatever is done in faith is going to produce a harvest. Anything done in faith and walking out in Planned Parenthood, that always produces a harvest. I want to say to the people who said that they would go to Planned Parenthood, so many people called Eleanor and said that they would go to Planned Parenthood and they never showed up. Or they said, my gosh, it's going to cost me money to go in by the railroad, by the train. I tell you, thank God for faithful people. That's all I can say. Thank God that on Tuesday and Wednesday, our people are out there. Thank God that I believe that Paul Williams goes out on a Saturday. Oh, thank God that people are there to give another alternative rather than to kill the child. There is a lad here with five barley loaves and two small fishes. And so Jesus says, have the men sit down. And there were 5,000 men. And I'm telling you, not counting the women and children, there must have been at least 15, 20,000 people. And Jesus took the loaves. And when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples and the disciples to them that were all sitting down. And likewise of the fishes, as much as they wanted. I love this. Chapter 6, verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, it sounds like the Eucharist. Jesus took the loaves, he looked up to heaven, gave thanks to the Father, and said, take and eat of it, for this is my body. Well, this is going to be in the chapters to come, or in the verses to come. So Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples, and the disciples to them that were on the ground, sitting down, and likewise the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were filled, when the people had all eaten, Jesus said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with fragments of 5 barley loaves and 3 fish. Now listen to this. 20,000 people had their fill of barley loaves and fish. Plus they collect all that's left over, 12 baskets of fragments. Isn't this something? I want to tell you, God multiplies, he never divides. God multiplies, he never divides. It is the will of God that we know that he is a multiplier, not a divider. That's why I said, you know, if we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. The people outside the abortion mill today are sowing bountifully of their time and of their talent and even of their treasure, because sometimes they buy food for people. When people sow liberally, they reap liberally. Money, time, talent, what we sow is what we reap. Let me tell you again, these people outside the abortion mill today are sowing liberally of their time. And you know, I've seen them buy food for people who have changed their mind, say, well, we have no money. Says, come on, we're going to take you to the store, which is right across the hall, street. And they buy food for them and they give. Let me just tell you, they're sowing. They're sowing. And when you sow liberally, you reap liberally. So there were 12 baskets that remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus said, this is the truth, the prophet, they should come into the world. When Jesus perceived that they were going to come and take him by force to make him a king, Jesus departed again to the mountain all by himself. So this is another temptation of Jesus. He just multiplies the fish and the loaves. He just has 20,000 people eating. He has 12 baskets left over. The people said, this is the one that Moses spoke about. We're going to make him a king. But Jesus knew this was a big temptation. He did not want to be their king because he would be the king at Calvary. He would die on the cross, hallelujah, for you and for me and for those who don't even believe. He died for each one of us, and he bled for each one of us. This was a big temptation for Jesus, to be a king, to have a throne. But Jesus ran off to the hills, ran off to the mountains, all by himself, because he knew that his kingship would be at Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. Because without Calvary, I'd be going to hell. Without Calvary, you'd be going to hell. It's as simple as that. But not only at Calvary did he take your sins and my sins, but at Calvary, he took our sicknesses. Yes, by his stripes, we were healed at Calvary. Oh, everything happened at Calvary. Oh, it's all about the cross. St. Paul said, I will preach nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. I'm going to come to you, Corinthian community, and I made up my mind to preach nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified, who is the wisdom of God, who is the weakness of God. But the weakness of God is more powerful than the power of humanity. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ gave his life for you. Jesus Christ gave his life for me, so that we would become sons of God, daughters of God. Let me hear what the Father said in the Jordan River. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. I'm telling you, if you live by faith, the Lord is saying to you today, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. God looks at you through Jesus and says, this is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. To the people out in the abortion mill, I want them to know what God said to them. This is my beloved Son, my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved children, in whom I am well pleased. That's what the Father says. The same thing he says about Jesus. In Jesus, we are the beloved of Christ. In Jesus, we are the beloved of the Father. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Do you know today that the Lord says to you that you are his beloved child? Do you know today that Jesus continues to multiply as we give it over to him, as we give our finances, our time, our treasure? Do you know today that Jesus wants to multiply healing today? And today we're going to end by praying for healing for people. We're going to end by praying for healing for people. That's what we're going to end with, because we heard that Dorothy was healed the other day via the airwaves, hallelujah, even though it was a tape. Dorothy was healed because the anointing of God was there. So, Lord, give me a song that I can sing like the woman with the issue of blood. We press in, we press in. Like the blind man waiting painfully, we press in through the crowd. Then suddenly a touch from heaven, Jesus came and set me free. Then suddenly a touch from heaven, Jesus came and set me free. Jesus, 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 there is something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, cancer is being healed like the raindrops after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name. Your name is wonderful. Your name is wonderful. Your name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, you're the great shepherd, the master of all ages. Your name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, he's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. Almighty God is he. We bow down before him. We love and adore him. Your name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, we worship you. Father, we call you Father because we are the beloved of the Father, the beloved sons and daughters of the Father. We call you Father because you are Abba, Father, Daddy, Papa. You are the great God who sent your only begotten Son. I pray today in the name of Jesus that by the power of the blood you would heal people's breasts today, that tumors would be melted away in the name of Jesus. I pray today through the power of the blood of Jesus that the front of the neck that's difficult to swallow. Oh yes, I see the Lord healing necks so that you can swallow. You haven't been able to swallow. In the name of Jesus and by the power of the blood, be healed and begin to swallow. I see the Lord touching necks now. In the name of Jesus, by the power of his blood, be completely healed right now. We call those things to be now that are not as if they are, and they are. I see a band around someone's stomach. It feels like a band, a burning band. It might be shingles. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, heal those shingles. Heal that band of pain. Heal by the blood that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel. In Jesus' name, be healed. by the blood of the Lamb. I see people that have weak ankles, but the Lord is strengthening your ankles. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the blood, be completely healed in your ankles. Strength comes into your ankles by the blood that speaks far more eloquently than the blood of Abel. Strength comes into your ankles by the blood of Jesus. And your knees, oh, the arthritic knees. In the name of Jesus, we call those things to be now that are not as if they are. And they are by grace. In the name of Jesus, by the power of his blood, be completely healed in your knees right now. All pain leaves now. And everything the devil wrote against your knees have been canceled by the blood of Jesus on the cross. Be healed in the name of Jesus and have it checked out with your doctor. Have everything checked out, because when God heals, God heals. And also let me know what God has done so that I can continue to pray the last few minutes that God would heal his people via the airwaves. I do thank you for listening. We're on every day at this time. If these broadcasts are a blessing to you, write in season and out of season, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128, or Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Jesus Christ is wonderful. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is our Savior and our healer. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.